From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
A lot of Chiefs news going on right now.
Welcome back, folks. We'll just do from the beginning. Things start happening when the quote-unquote tampering is allowed to be revealed, and that's starting to happen. We have three, four players to talk about real quick, just to give you guys some updates and some instant reaction. And make sure you hang on until the end, because as we were recording this over our lunch breaks, news about Tom Mahaly came out. We have that at the very end of the show after a couple of the ads. So make sure you stay tuned for that part. I'm Ryan Tracy, founder of Rogue Analytics, and you know where to find me online.
And I am Chris Clark. I am the managing editor of LockedOnChiefs.com. And Ryan says three or four. I'm going to add in an extra name that he doesn't know about right now. Maybe two. So anyway, let's talk about what makes Ryan the happiest and talk about Anthony Sherman being back in Kansas City.
Oh, I'm very, very happy. We talked about this earlier. Yeah, right. If I could dance, I'd be doing one. We've talked about this over the weeks, and it was a fair argument that a lot of people had, that we don't use a fullback enough in Kansas City. They're not going to change. So really, you don't need him. Get a younger special team player that can fill that role, which he's very good at, and let it ride. But here's the thing, and I've had a lot of conversations as this news came out. Still looking for the details, but I think the details and the size of the contract will tell you exactly what they're thinking. If it's any kind of raise from last season, I think you're looking at the possible influence changing on what the offense might be. And I'm gonna write about that later this week, but I'll just give you the lowdown here. Eric Bieniemy is a guy that ran behind a fullback in college a lot. I think he can appreciate a more aggressive run game. It doesn't necessarily mean more snaps in a power blocking scheme, although I think they can do that. But I think the influence of Eric Bieniemy might have an effect on using the fullback more in the coming season than we've seen lately.
Could. I will say that I think you're going off the deep end here a little bit, considering we don't know the details. I'm guessing it's more like a one-year deal. It's for $1 million or less. Maybe a little more than that. And to me, that means that they're just going to use him in the same role that they've used him in, and that he'll be a core special teams guy, because that's really what his main focus on this team is. Yes, he's the team's fullback, but playing in only 20% of the snaps, he gets more time at special teams. So I think that's his role moving forward. We'll see when the contract comes out whether or not I'm right on that.
And I do agree with you. If it's anything similar to what the last contract was, which was, I think it was $1,025,000 for last season, then you're right. It's just status quo. But if there's any significant raise there, I think it might signal. It might not. It is wishful thinking on my part, because I think
– Absolutely wishful thinking on your part.
Yeah, because I think it's a dimension that they still need. And I think as we talk about how this league has changed over the years, and it's so pass-oriented, pass-happy. You know, we talk about a starting defense really has three corners. That is an opportunity for another cycle to come around where running the ball for power is an advantage when you're facing defenses that are not manned well for that, when you already have five DBs on the field. So, you know, we could see a change come in the opposite direction.
And I think you're just wishful thinking, but that's my own personal opinion. Another tidbit of news from Ian Rappaport. It sounds like Kansas City is releasing Ron Parker today, which Therese Paylor hinted at a couple weeks ago. So we knew it was coming. We just didn't know when. It looks like we now know when. So it looks like Ron Parker will be gone and they will move on from him. It does also look like he was offered a pay cut and to stay, and he decided to decline that. So that says,
and that's the part that that's the part I've been reluctant to say that he's absolutely gone, because I figured there was some kind of negotiation. Hey, maybe you could stay if you took a cut, kind of thing going on. I can't blame Ron Parker. Yes, he had a down season last season, but playing without Eric Berry has an effect on him, especially when you're looking at a young Eric Murray who was overmatched, especially against the tight ends, and Dan Sorensen back there, and whoever they rotated through on a given game. So I'm not going to hold that against him. And I would think that for his value out there, I think he's going to get something similar that he was going to be paid in Kansas City anyway.
We'll see what he ends up getting elsewhere. Another name that's out there, and obviously this isn't going to be final until Wednesday, but it sounds like Zach Fulton is headed to Houston.
Yeah, you know, the Texans grabbing another ex-Chief that's better in the power scheme, just like we saw with Jeff a few years ago. It seems to be a little bit of a pipeline. They clearly scout, and the Texans have played the Chiefs enough that they know the personnel that they're looking at. Part of the report is that they're slotting him at center, and I think that's great for him as well as them. I think that's his best position.
Yeah, and $7 million a year, you're not going to get that in Kansas City. So there you go. I don't know what his range would have been in Kansas City. Three or four probably tops, but at seven, yeah, you're priced out of staying in KC.
I could have gone 4.5, but yeah, that was my over under.
Oh, I think that's so. I think that would have even been pushing it with all the other things that Kansas City needs to do.
Yeah, fair enough.
Haven't heard anything about Albert Wilson yet. This is still early on Monday. It's possible that something will come out later this afternoon. So we will see on that. Now, a name that has been thrown out there, and this is where I'm going to get off target for Ryan, is do you throw a sixth or seventh round pick at Miami for Ndamukong Suh?
I personally don't.
Okay.
I think he's only on the hook for base salaries, if I read what you were talking with Joel Corey correctly.
$17 million this year, which means no dead cap space in future years if you cut him.
Right, and that's the only advantage, but that's still $17 million for a D tackle when you can probably, if you make a good push for Wilkerson, do that for half, maybe 10.
Yeah, but you're not going to get the production out of Wilkerson that you're going to get out of Suh.
Maybe not, but if you play Suh, he belongs at the three tech or maybe even outside. He's not a nose.
Right.
You don't want him playing in a nose. He's a penetrator. So you're still talking about either reps that you're going to take away from Chris Jones or Alan Bailey, if he's still here, or R&R.
Well, no, I think if they were to trade for Suh, and the only way I would say that they should trade for Suh is if they cut Alan Bailey. And I'm not saying they should go cut Alan Bailey. I'm just saying that's the only circumstances at which you would do that. You couldn't afford it otherwise. But the thing I would like about that move is it gives them a defensive line that they haven't ever had. And, yes, you still need a defensive tackle and a nose tackle, but you'd have two defensive ends that are going to be tough for anybody to block one-on-one.
Well, and more importantly, when they do go to the four-man front in the nickel, you have two, three techniques that can penetrate and can disrupt plays. And shortest pass to the quarterback's right up the gut. So that part makes sense. But again, when you're playing a base 3-4, yeah, it could work, but I don't know. It seems very expensive to me, and that's probably why I would pass. Plus, I've never been a big fan of his attitude. So maybe that's just me.
No, I get it. And there's certainly things that you have to worry about when it comes to him. You know, his attitude, he certainly could be somebody that you get on your team and he's not going to end up playing for half the season because he gets suspended for doing something stupid. I just thought it was an intriguing thought, mainly because it's a name that you wouldn't expect to come available right now. I will say that I think that he got way overpaid by the Dolphins, and that is why he's not going to be in Miami. I do think he's still a very good player. He had his best year in the NFL last season, so I do think there's still a great player there. It's just a matter of whether or not they think it's worth anything. And people are going to sit here and tell me, okay, well, you don't make that move because you can go sign him on the street. I don't think Kansas City would be the place he would want to come. And I don't think you would get him for anything that is not going to have dead money in future years. So I agree. That's the thing that appeals to me, is that you could go and bring him in for a fifth or sixth round pick, which is not going to have as big of an impact as a guy like Suh would on your defense. And you have the cap space in 19. You have the cap space this year that you could spend on somebody like that if you really wanted to. So this is the time to make that move if you're going to. I don't expect them to do it, but just a thought and wanted to throw it out there.
Yeah, and you have a very good point. If Brett Veach wants him, if Brett Veach and Andy and Bob Sutton, if they want him, It makes way more sense to do it in a trade, like you said, because of that open market. A lot of teams would be interested in him, despite all the baggage and everything that we've talked about. I mean, honestly, you have some edge guys You just moved Danny Shelton. If I'm John Dorsey and he's on the free market and all that cap space, I'd be going after him pretty hard because I think that's an instant upgrade for a team that needs impact. So I agree with you. I think you're going to get outbid on the open market. So if you want him, you got to trade for him.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't think a fifth or sixth or seventh round pick, if that's what you have to give up to get him, I think it's worth it because you're not going to get an impact player like that for in those rounds. And even if you only keep him 2 years, I think the biggest thing I think he would add is I think he adds an element of pass rush from the interior and from the defensive line that I don't think that they would have otherwise.
And that's fair.
And I think that know, really makes it easier. Sorry to interrupt. I think that really would make it easier for D Ford because you're going to have a guy that's going to be commanding double teams on both sides of the D line. When you're in those three sets, those three defensive line sets.
And, you know, and here's the thing. When you look at his Blas score, that's something we do at Rogue Analytics. It plays behind the line of scrimmage, not just sacks, but tackles for loss as well. When you put those together and take a look at what he did last season, he was well ahead of even Justin Houston. So that brings an element the Chiefs currently don't have and bolsters that side. I would see him lining up on the left side of the defense next to Houston. So I think that would help both situations, but that production is something that doesn't grow on trees. So, you know, even though I think it's expensive, maybe Brett Veach doesn't.
Well, and it goes against getting younger, and I completely get that. And like I said, I'm not trying to stump for the guy. I'm just saying it would make a lot of sense if they want this defensive line to be something that could be really dominant. I mean, if you get a guy like Sue on your roster, to me, that really opens up a lot of things that you can do on defense because it's going to take pressure off your corners and your safeties because they're just not going to have time to sit back there and survey the defense. Not with Chris right, Jones yeah, and Houston and D Ford and Dominican Sue. I mean, you just can't. You can't sit back there.
Well, and that's the basic push pull of defending the pass. If you're weak in the secondary, your front can make up for it by providing pressure, and vice versa. Another guy that's been given a second round tender, which I think is too expensive for the Chiefs to look at, but Shaquille Barrett, formerly of the Broncos, is going to go elsewhere. But the Broncos are going to get a draft pick out of it. Ben Albright's reporting they're going to be multiple offers. He was somebody I thought might get a lower tender and might skirt under there. But if there's really a market for him at that point, I think that he would be a nice third pass rusher in Kansas City. I just don't know that he's affordable at that point.
I wouldn't give up a second rounder for him. Even though it goes against, it goes with one of my tenets that I would love to do, and it's weakening a division foe. I don't give up a second rounder for him. Not when you can have a guy in Shane Ray that's a lot like him in certain situations and going to be coming without a draft pick.
Right, but that's a year away. Oh, so it's going to leave you. No.
My bad, I apologize.
You know, last year under contract, so it's going to be, you know, it's a step there. And maybe that's projecting into the future a little farther than we can really see. But, you know, at some point, especially with the reports that D Ford is still battling his back injury. Something to look at. I also wonder with the news of Ron Parker's departure, what the priority is at safety. I don't know that the free agent is the way you want to go in this class. I don't know how you feel about it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm starting to wonder though, if they're not going to be looking at taking a safety even as high as the second round.
That's exactly where I'm going with it. You know,
I mean, with his release, it becomes a position of need unless they really think that Eric Murray can do it. And even if he can, they still need other talent back there.
Yeah. Hopefully Eric Berry's returning. And I always thought that Murray was pressed into playing, you know, that in-box safety roamer more than he should have been. I thought originally as a nickel corner with range and being able to defend the pass, I always felt like Murray was best suited as Parker's heir at the free safety, the deep safety spot. So maybe that's part of what is in the Chiefs' plan and his performance in 2018 pressed into a role that really isn't his thing. Maybe they're letting that go and they're looking for Murray to play that deep role. But I would still be looking at this point, as much as I like the player, we haven't seen him develop enough. I think they have to be looking for another safety and maybe somebody to pair with Murray later. As you know, I mean, Eric Berry's not getting any younger.
Well, and safety is one of those roles that they love to use. And if they were to go and get a safety that they really like, maybe that opens them up to the ability to get rid of Daniel Sorensen on his contract, which I know you would love. So,
well, it's not just that I would find it favorable. I won't say love it. I don't have personal vendettas against any of the players. I think he's a weakness and a liability, especially the amount that Bob Sutton likes to use him. I would like to see them go after somebody like Trey Boston, who is, again, still young, but very experienced and has been productive. Fourth round original selection. He's going to be on the free agent market. And I think that's, if there's a free agent that I'd like the Chiefs to look at safety, I think that's him.
Just because I want to hear you say no. Do you make a trade for Earl Thomas?
No. Good Lord. Are you kidding me? I haven't even looked at his contract numbers because it's just so far fetched. But again, you're not getting any younger. If I remember correctly, I believe Earl was the class before Eric Berry?
No, same class.
Okay, same class. Okay, still, you're talking about 30-year-old safeties. And yes, it would be cool because he's been such a productive player and obviously dovetails quite nicely with Eric Berry. Is I think Earl's obviously better playing deep, playing that you know, field general type role. It would be quite a tandem, but affording it, I don't know, is something that can be
withstood. Like I said, I just wanted to hear you say no. Because I knew you were going to say no.
Okay.
But supposedly.
Do you disagree, though?
Not really. Supposedly, he's available on the market. I can't imagine Kansas City would want to give up the draft capital for him because I really can't imagine that he's going to be available, from what I heard, at least, for anything less than maybe a third or second round pick. And I don't think you want to make that move. That's just too much, in my opinion. He's a great player, but it's going to be a guy that I think is on the last year of his deal, or maybe he has 2 years left, but it's not going to be somebody that you're going to be able to build around, which is really what you want to use your second and third round picks for. So, I don't see it happening, but like I said, just kind of wanted to throw it out there and listen to you say no, because I knew it was coming.
Well, right. No way around it. It is what it is. Well, I think that pretty much covers what we're seeing. Again, it's midday on Monday, folks. So I think at this point, we'll just replace this episode. And now, as we're recording this, the news about Tamba Hali is going to be released has happened. Knew this was kind of coming, but right now, still a little bit, almost, I won't say sad, but turning the page, right? I mean, the guy's number two on the all-time sack list behind only Derek Thomas.
Yep. But you knew it had to be coming. He was very little help to Kansas City last year. And with his contract the way it was, it was just a matter of time. So they have made the move. He will be cut. It looks like he will be cut today. So in the time frame that we have been doing this morning, looks like Kansas City is up to now $25 million in cap space because they've freed up another $11.1 million in cap space in a couple of moves today.
So that opens the door as these dominoes fall for looking at replacing one or both of those positions, possibly with a free agent. We'll have to see what comes down, but definitely the turning of the page, 12 seasons in Kansas City, leaves them without a safety net for pass rush production with Dee Ford hurting and young guys behind. There is no, well, maybe Tamba can give you 20 solid snaps. So this, I think, again, with the free safety, has jumped up in priority.
Oh, but I don't think that he was really a safety net to begin with because he just wasn't there last year. There was very little value to the play that he did produce last year. Now, I will say this, and I'm just going to throw this out there just because I know you enjoy it. If they were to release Alan Bailey, which I've not seen any reports on yet, they would get to $30.69 million in cap space. And that gives them enough room to go get a guy like Sue.
True. Love true. That.
that thought earlier.
No, not really. Love is a strong word. At this point, I'm still a fan of what Bailey does. I will be surprised if that's the way they go. Especially,
I would be too.
If they do make a signing or a trade, then possibly. But as it stands, I don't think there's any way you move on from Alan Bailey without having a backup plan in hand.
Agreed.
So, can't do it. We will see more as it comes down, but there are only a few other players we might get some news about. So we just wanted to give you guys an update. We know we're over our time already, but this happened while we were recording, so there's our instant reaction. Keep it here. Thanks for listening. Make sure you rate and review and subscribe and all that good stuff, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review. And reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTracyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.